बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So the 13th chapter we completed in the morning, isn't it? So the last theme which we discussed is a very important theme. Only I am only afraid to discuss it elaborately because we will lose out time for the further chapters. But you all can contemplate more on that theme, because the theme is about how a negative situation that we may encounter in our life may appear to be discouraging to us, disheartening, making us slow down in our spiritual life. Sometimes when either you are personally criticized by somebody or insulted by someone, or some facilities are taken away, privileges are taken away, or sometimes people with whom you may be working together and having too many expectations, so your expectations may be frustrated. So one should take these things as Krishna's orchestration in one's life, and one should always think on what lesson to learn for the life ahead. So in human psychology, if you see, our intelligence definitely has the nature to analyze things when something happens. But Shastra say analysis is good, but it is not always good. When it should be done and when it should not be done, Shastra has very clearly say that. For example, Lord Ram was ordered by Kaikeyi to go to forest in the name of saying that Dasharath, gave two boons to Kaikeyi. With one boon he has to go to forest, Ram, and another boon Bharat will become the king. When this was told to Ram, there was not even an iota of change in emotion in Ram's face. When he was asked to become the king, when he was asked to quit the kingship, the face was as it is. In fact, he folded his palms and prayed to Kaikeyi that, let me not, cause any pain to you and my father. I want to make sure that you both are happy with me. And you tell me, whatever you say, I will do, he said. So, and then subsequently Lord Rama went to forest for 14 years. Never even once Lord Rama criticized Kaikeyi for asking him to go to forest. Even when Lakshman criticized his father as Kamuk, at that time Ram scolded Lakshman. He said that our father was bound by his promise to fulfill the two benedictions. Otherwise, our father was actually pure. You can't find fault with him. So it's a very surprising thing. Ram never even asked who twisted the mindset of Kaikeyi like this. He did not try to find out the person like Mantara. Nor did he blame Kaikeyi, nor did he blame Dasharath. He did not analyze this at all. He only looked his road ahead. He thought that right now, apparent misfortune is coming in my life. Apparent misfortune. Why I am calling it apparent? Because it appears like a misfortune, but it will give me road to the forest where I can go and do something else is awaiting me there. Some other duty is awaiting me there. Like that one should, like Rama took. Similarly, when Arjuna was cursed by Urvashi to become a eunuch, you don't find anywhere any instance of Arjuna cursing her back. Not even one word also. Because he never even analyzed, why did Urvashi curse me? Who is she to curse me? Does she not know who I am? Is she not aware of my power? Now let the world see who I am. All these thoughts didn't come in his mind. Immediately he turned is back to Urvashi and thought, what is my road ahead? Now, if I go to earth as a eunuch now, what awaits me there? Then he thought, there is a 1 year incognito period. So he thought that, oh, this will become a great help for me in that period. Correct, no? So then he immediately took advantage of that and became a dance teacher in Viratadesh for 1 year. So he utilized that, he converted misfortune into good fortune. Lord Rama also converted misfortune into good fortune. Correct, no? Yeah. So, in this way you can find examples of Ram or Arjun. They never analyzed other people's actions. They only analyzed their own action. Like when Arjuna, at one point of time, Yudhishthira Maharaj became angry with Arjuna and told him, give up your bow. And he told him, at that time Arjuna started shivering in anger. Who told me to give up my bow? And then he, of course, that pastime goes on, how he tried to kill Yudhishthira and then Krishna stopped him and all that. But later Arjuna, when he was alone, he was analyzing this action. How did I behave with my brother so badly? Although I have taken a vow that I will kill anyone who tells me to give up the vow, but that is not applicable to my elder brother who is like my guru. How I can deal with him like this? So he very meticulously analyzed his wrongness in his action. So when it comes to analysis, we should analyze our actions, not others' actions. Because others' actions are difficult to analyze because we cannot know their intentions. They might have done something with good intention, which we may not be aware. We may only superficially evaluate their external behavior and we may arrive at a wrong conclusion thinking they are bad. Correct, no? Sometimes a person's action may appear bad. Like one time I was walking in the last year, it was Vrindavan Yatra somewhere, I think. We were walking on the road by the side of Radhakund, in that road when we were walking. Oh, in this road only, Fogalashram road we were walking. So, one devotee who was coming behind me came running to me and just pushed me aside. And I fell on the ground. I practically toppled, rolled on the ground. Like that, I fell off. And covered by, I was wondering how this devotee came running and pushed me. And just then, within the next 2-3 seconds, I saw a cow was running very fast. So she had become very afraid seeing thousands of devotees getting down from the buses and coming and occupying the road. So this devotee is Pune devotee only, one of the congregation devotees only. Then that devotee came to me and lifted me up from the ground. I slowly got up. I was still feeling a little pain in the body. Then he said, Rashamba, I'm very sorry for pushing you. You know, actually this cow had become frightened in the crowd and she came running. And other people were seeing the cow, said, moved aside, but you were not seeing. You were chanting and I was walking. Thank God I was chanting. Therefore I was saved, I think. So he said, so when the cow was coming, running, he was also coming like this. And he pushed aside and cow ran ahead. So then I told him, actually your pushing was good for me, because if you didn't push me, you know, the cow would have put her horns right behind my body. And then I would be like this, correct? I have to be rushed to the hospital. I don't know how serious the accident would be. I don't know. So, we all face such accidents in life on and off occasionally, correct? No? Probably in 6 months I said I would be bedridden and all my preaching program will have to be closed. 6 months, now that you pushed me aside, I was saved. So his pushing action appears to be good or bad? Bad. His intention is good or bad? Therefore, it is very difficult for us to know the other's intentions, why they are doing what they are doing. Best is not to analyze. Analyze our own actions only. Therefore, Ram did not analyze Kaikeyi. Arjuna did not analyze Urvashi. They just focused on themselves only. And also they saw the road ahead. What is ahead of us? What can we do ahead? Similarly, here Anga Maharaj is very intelligent. He is seeing from Krishna's point of view. Okay, Krishna has given me a bad son. Now what to do now? Actually, Anga was in a position where citizens would come to complain to him about his son. It was very painful for him. He didn't want to see the citizen suffer. At the same time, he could not rectify his son. This is called samsara. Samsara is a thing where you want to do something which you will not be allowed to do. And you don't want to do something you will be forced to do. That is samsara. You know? You see? So, He want to keep the people happy, but they are unhappy because of trouble. He want to reform the son and make him a good son, he is unable to. Isn't it? So then he thought, what do I do? Do I just keep blaming my fate all my life and keep weeping, crying? Then he thought, how can I convert this misfortune into good fortune? He thought like that. Then he understood, you know, a good son is good because he will bring great happiness to parents, fame to the parents, and he will do good to the world. Everything is wonderful, he said. At the same time, if a son is too good, we can become attached. Even in our preaching, we can see, if ever the boys whom we bring are very good, we develop a kind of vatsalya for them, correct, no? Yeah, fatherly affection for them. As soon as somebody tells you about them, Prabhu, this boy, this devotee, you say, what can I say? Such a great soul, such a good soul. Huh? It may be, it's not wrong to develop some amount of affection. But at the same time, we should be aware, we are living in a world where things may not remain the same, things may change also. Huh? Everything may not remain. There are boys who may become wonderful devotees, 16 wonders, they will be so surrendered, you will think they are going to dedicate their whole life and everything. Suddenly some storm comes in their life, they give up chanting, they run away with a girl. Huh? Yeah. And the whole thing is spoiled. And you call him, as soon as he receives your call, he cuts the phone. Then you call from another call, he lifts the phone. And then you ask him, Prabhu, I want to know, where are you? Again he cuts the phone. Isn't it? So then you wonder, is he the same boy who loved me like a father? How many times he, you know, he offered obeisances to me and he came to me, he smiled. How much prasad I gave him, special prasad. I reserved prasad for him to give him. How he has... So we can become very frustrated in life if we become attached. Therefore, in the material world, it's very dangerous to become attached to anyone. Just become attached only to Krishna. And with others, we can associate and take advantage, and we have to be aware that anything can happen to anybody anytime in this world. So one has to be, therefore we said, you show affection, but be detached. Be responsible and detached. The other day we were telling also. Correct, no? So, Anga Maharaj came with a very right conclusion. He said, good son may be good, but if you become attached to a good son, I have to be born again. But bad son may be bad because he brings infamy, ill repute to the parents, and he gives trouble to the people. But the bad son can be considered an advantage. Why? He leads to anasakti. Asakti will be finished. A bad son purifies me so well. You know, the way he speaks, the way he deals, the way he behaves. By his behavior, he shows that he is incorrigible. And more people come and tell me his bad activities, and, you know, and then in this way the father is becoming detached. Anga is a very intelligent king. Therefore, in the Pada Bhakti, anukulyasa sankalpa, pratikulyasa vadana. That's the only criteria for a devotee. There is one balahaya, you know that one verse, yayi bala yayi manda, yayi sava brahma, he says. You know, this is good, this is bad, this is all brahm, he says. Why? Because something what the people in the world may call good, you may consider it bad if it is not anukul for Krishna consciousness. Correct, no? On the other hand, what people may consider as very bad, you may consider it most auspicious if it is favorable for Krishna consciousness. So this point has to be very well understood. It's very important. Because unless there are some tough guys either below us or in the side of us or above us, we have very little chance to improve in our life. Because if everybody is goody-goody below, goody-goody equal, goody-goody super, above us, we will think everything is goody-goody, all right. Everything is wonderful. We will never improve. There is no stretching, straining to improve. Like one boy went to America. So I had suggested him to do preaching in college. So he was in a college. So he preached and brought about 6 to 8 boys, and all chanting 4 to 8 rounds. Now after the boys came, he was like a OC, and they all came. This boy has no experience of being OC in India. He was just a, you know, frontline kind of thing. He was a topper. So, but then when 7-8 boys came in, he had to be a OC. And now they started observing him very sharply, his morning program, his chanting, correct, no? He's waking up. And one day he got up half an hour late and came, and all the boys caught him and said, "Prabhu, you have to write Mahamantra now." You know, you told us to write, so you have to write also. He said, "Hare, I only brought you to Krishna consciousness, I have to write also." I told him. So he asked me some questions on phone that, "Prabhu, they are saying I should do this. Am I supposed?" I said, "Yes, you have to set a good example." You know. Then he said, "Prabhu, I have decided to move out of this place. Let these boys manage." So he moved out to stay. Then he asked him, "Why did you move out?" He said, "Prabhuji, you know, they are too much watching closely. It's becoming difficult for me." So he said, "Prabhu, I have changed my mind. Henceforth, I will not preach to youth. I have decided to distribute books." He said, "As do I." "Because if you distribute books, they too take book and silently go away. You know, they don't watch us closely." But once they become devotees, then you are always like sitting on hot coal, you know. Anytime they will say, "Prabhuji, you spoke like this. Prabhuji, you said like this." They catch us. Then I told him, between preaching and behavior, there is a dynamic tension. You know that, no? Between preaching and behavior, there is a... Because you are preaching big, big things, so you also behave according to those big, big things. Correct. He said, "Prabhuji, that is the real difficulty, Prabhu." He said, "Therefore, I better be a book distributor than a preacher." He said. So, but I told him, "But if you don't preach, then you can't cultivate solid devotees. Therefore, if you have to cultivate solid devotees, we have to constantly watch our behavior, our thinking, our speech, our behavior. Because we have to watch, others will surely watch, without doubt. How are we conducting ourselves?" Correct, no? So, therefore, if people who are below you are equal to you or above you, somebody is not according to your expectation, it is according to Krishna's plan. Then you can understand that that person is specifically tailor-made for you. To purify you. You know tailor-made? Tailor-made means you give a cloth and tailor cuts the cloth according to your leg size, hand size, no? Like that Krishna makes a tailor-made fellow to exactly purify one tendency which is not good for you, which is in you. Yeah? So each of us have some tendency. And those tendencies have to be purified. For example, if I am very strict, I have to learn lenience. Somebody is very casual, very lenient, they have to learn to become strict. Somebody is, you know, too punctual, you know, and they are very proud of their punctuality. Krishna will pull their leg by making them unpunctual. You know? So they can be punctual, but they should not be proud of their punctuality. Correct, no? So you will find Krishna exactly finds out who has what problem, and there only he will send somebody to you. And you will wonder how this fellow exactly is giving me trouble. You know, like Anga is a good fellow. Correct, no? Very good king, very good praja, and everything is good. I love praja, praja loves me, everything is wonderful. Everything was going on smoothly. And then Krishna was thinking, if everything is goody-goody, then how will he come back to Godhead? He wanted to accelerate his coming back. And Lord thought, has he got any one material desire? And then he found out that he has a strong desire to have a son. So Lord used that desire. Oh-ho, in your account there is no son, but you are strongly desiring. Although you are told that you are not supposed to have a son, but you want a son. Okay, I will use that to give you a son and purify you. Like that Lord did. So don't think Lord is a sadist. Lord is the most kind. Because by purifying that tendency, attachment for a son in Anga, Lord took him back. Correct, no? Anga went to forest and he went back home back to God. Similarly, some of us, our own enthusiasm can become our enemy sometimes. Over-enthusiasm can become our enemy. Sometimes our our slackness can become our enemy. Like one devotee had a habit of being lazy. He missed the trains 3 to 4 times. And he saw the train moving because of his laziness. So that devotee told me, "Prabhuji, 4 times I saw the train moving, Prabhu. I couldn't catch it. People told me, 'Hey, don't climb up, because train was fastly going. They said, "Still I am not learning lesson." I said, "Definitely you will learn." I said, he said, "When?" "When you get one more train, you know, you lose one more train, two more train. Because Krishna is sending away the trains in front of your eyes to teach you, to purify you. Because again to make another ticket and go, how difficult it is. How much, difficulty is involved in that, you see." So, each of us, he was telling, "Prabhuji, when I was climbing the staircase in the station, I was praying to Lord Narasimha that the train should not move. I said, see, train is at 3:30 and you are going at 3:40. And what is the use of praying dinner singing there? Because one time when he went and saw in the platform, train only was not there. Prabhuji, pray to Narasinghadev, still Narasinghadev did not hold the train. I asked, you want Narasinghadev to pull the chain? For you, no? You see? So, see, I told you are making Narasinghadev also unpunctual. So, actually we want Lord to cooperate with our deficiencies. But Lord says, I will purify your deficiency. Which one is better? We get it purified. So Lord could be said, but then we won't go to the next chapter. Better we go to the next chapter. Which one chapter? 15th or 16th? 14th. 14th. Yeah. Okay. Very fastly, we'll go in express mail now. Very fast we'll go now. Okay, come to us. So what we were talking was such a very important theme. Therefore, Vaishnavas are always positive. Read the first... Okay, we'll recite the verse and we'll recite. Maitreya Uvacha Brigvadayaste Munayo Lokanam Kshema Darshinaha Koptaryasati Vai Nrinam Pashyantah Pashusamyatam.
The great sage Maitreya continued, O great hero Vidura, the great sages headed by Bhrigu were always thinking of the welfare of the people in general. When they saw that in the absence of King Anga, there was no one to protect the interests of the people, they understood that without a ruler, the people would become independent and non-regulated.
Yeah. Read the purport, very important purport. Yeah.
Purport. In this verse, the significant word is Kshema Darshinaha, which refers to those who are always looking after the welfare of the people in general. All the great sages headed by Bhrigu were always thinking of how to elevate all the people of the universe to the spiritual platform. Indeed, they advised the kings of every planet to rule the people with the ultimate goal of life in mind.
They advised the kings of every planet to rule the people with that ultimate goal in mind. What is that ultimate goal? Ultimate goal is to elevate all people to the spiritual platform. See, that's there in the previous sentence. And the sages were always thinking how to elevate all people of the universe to the spiritual platform. So, people in general are in the material platform, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So, from the animalistic platform, we have to bring them to the human platform. And from human platform, we should raise them to karmi, jnani, yogi, and if possible, bhakta, ultimately. They had come to the Bhakta platform. So this is what all sages are always thinking. How to elevate the people to the spiritual platform. And with that ultimate goal, they give advice to the kings. That means they give advice to the king to keep a spiritual culture or a Brahminical culture. Like I told you. You remember that Brahminical culture I told you? A, B, C, D. Who remembers that? A for absolute truth. B for Brahmanas. C for cows. D for demigods. And E for etiquettes. Etiquettes means dealing with one another. That is etiquette. So, this is called Brahminical culture. Easy to remember. So, absolute truth is Sri Krishna. Protecting the Brahmanas who are actually teachers. Cows should be protected. And the demigods, Devan Bhavetanena Te Deva Bhavayantuvaha. You know, the demigods give all supplies and the people worship the devatas. They perform yajna. Etiquettes means all women should be treated like a mother, except one's wife. Similarly, the dealing, respectful dealing towards brahmanas and sages and saintly people. And in this way, the whole society should be trained in spiritual culture or Brahminical culture. So, therefore, the sages always think how to elevate the people. Go ahead.
The great sages used to advise the head of the state or the king, and he used to rule the populace in accordance with their instruction. After the disappearance of King Anga, There was no one to follow the instructions.
Like the king sometimes will hear the brahmanas, assimilate the knowledge, and he will order the citizens. For example, you will find Prithu Maharaj, he is hearing the saintly people like Kumaras and others. But then he is also giving upadesh to the citizens. But his upadesh will be more action oriented. For example, when all praja assembles together, he will say, the cow is one of the seven mothers, so we have to protect. Because in the body of the cow, all the devatas are residing. So on forthcoming day, we are going to have a yajna for the devatas. And from that time, we are also going to have a cow protection program. So every farmer in my kingdom should have minimum one cow. So like that the king can. So king will hear from the brahmanas and appreciate the knowledge, and then he will also instruct the citizens directly. But his instruction is simply based on what he has learned from the Vedic literature, from the brahmanas. So you will find Prithu Maharaj, for example, a king may tell the citizens, in our kingdom, if anybody does stealing or robbing, their hand will be cut. Because why? Because all property belongs to God. You know, tena tak tena bunjita. So every one of you is allotted your quota, and you should be happy with that. So the king may frame policies based on the wisdom he has learned from brahmanas. So this is the beauty of Raja Rishi. So here he is telling that point only. What he said? Read that again.
The great sages used to advise the head of the state or the king, and he used to rule the populace in accordance with their instruction.
Yeah. Go ahead.
After the disappearance of Ganga, there was no one to follow the instructions of the great sages. Consequently, all the citizens became unruly, so much so that they could be compared to animals.
Now what happens? This can happen to your disciple also. Your disciple can become cut off from guru. And how do you know that? The disciple may be acting in unruly ways, improper ways, independent ways, because he is not hearing the sound vibration of guru and guru parampara. He is not in connection. So when there is a disconnection, just like right now all the bulbs are glowing because there is a connection. When there is no connection, then the disciple is not enlightened. When the disciple is unenlightened, then he becomes independent minded. Then manoratena satidavato bahir, riding the chariot of his mind, he just acts whimsically with no good instruction. Therefore, in everyone's life, there has to be a regular input of good instructions, which will actually conduct the senses and mind of every disciple actually. Because the spiritual sound vibration should be like the electricity activates the bulb. Similarly, the spiritual instruction should activate the mind and senses of the disciple. That is ideal standard actually. But in this case, what happened? When Anga was there, he would always consult the brahmanas for everything. Just like you see Dasharatha. He want to make Ram king, he is consulting Vasishtha. Correct, no? He want to retire, he is consulting Vasishtha. Now you will find that the kings always, whenever they had to do anything, they will leave the palace and go to the forest where the brahmanas and sages are living. And they had Pandavas had along with them one brahmana traveling with them, who is that? Dhaumya Rishi. Yeah, Dhaumya always was with them. Why? Because the Kshatriya knows, if I have to take some action, is it dharma or not? Whom will he ask? He'll consult the brahmana. Like Ashwatthama should be killed or not, you have to consult. You can't do anything on your own. So they had advisors. The Kshatriyas were actors and brahmanas were advisors. The brahmanas were not actors. They were advisors. They would give advice. So therefore here is, but what happened, as soon as Vena came, the relationship between brahmanas and Kshatriyas got cut off. Although Vena was elected by the brahmanas only and made the king, but after he was made the king, he and the brahmana sages had no connection. Why? Because Vena never felt a need for any advice. He thought, I know everything. This is called as I know everything syndrome. He is not in a mood to hear, learn and grow. So therefore here they are saying, there was no one to follow the instructions of the great sages. It's not that no one was there. There was one person. Who is there? Who was there to follow the instructions of sages? Who is that? Who? That is Vena only. He is supposed to follow, but is not following. Therefore, he says there was no one to follow. Actually, king is the one supposed to follow, but he is not following. Consequently, all citizens became unruly and they became compared to be animals. Actually, why they became like animals? Because people in general are not inclined to, you know, religious austerities. People in general, they just want to eat well. You go to any home in India on a typical Sunday, and all the family comes together, they cook nice food, they eat or eat out in a hotel, and they watch a movie together, television is going on all day, they're reading newspaper, you know, they're reading some supplement magazines. So somehow or other, you'll find in this world, the living entities are so covered over, they just do the basic animalistic activities of eating, sleeping, mating, defending only. But if they have to do religion, some amount of pressure has to be applied. Therefore, the kings were diplomatic in making the people Krishna conscious by making the... One example I'll tell you. If you go to New Vraj Dham, which is His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj's place, one devotee told me that they have a big temple hall and everything, and they have a big farm community. In the farm community, nowhere there is any bulb or light, because it is a... They only have the castor oil lamps they have. Lamps only. But only in the temple there is electric lights allowed. So imagine the lights go on till 8:30 in the night. So most people, instead of going to home, they remain in the temple only. Because people want light. People want to see each other, talk. Otherwise you go home, it's very dark there. Correct, no? So they have made this. Do you agree there is some trick in this? There's intelligence, isn't it? So, but the trick should be employed for the welfare of the people. Correct, no? For the people to take to Krishna consciousness. So the kings also in those days were very intelligent. They would announce that, you know, in such and such big temple there is going to be Annadan festival. There's a big feast. Huge crowds of people would come. And then before the Annadan there will be Kirtan, there will be Pravachan, then there will be Annadan, isn't it? So you enter from one hall and you are supposed to sit there. After finishing, you go from other place, take the prasad and push off. Correct, no? So the kings had arranged. Therefore, in some temples, they have a policy on Sunday feast. Before Jayaradha Madhava, those who come, they only get coupon. Correct, no? So, but what is the meaning of that? You have to attend the lecture. Then only you get prasad. Not that at the end of the lecture, you come and take darshan and go for prasad directly. But some guys are so shrewd, they take the coupon and push off. You know, they take the coupon and go and they directly come to the prasadam queue. So later on they made one policy. One devotee stands at the door, make sure that the coupon taker doesn't come out. He is pushed inside, go inside, close the door. I had to put him. Otherwise what happens, he takes coupon and goes out. Correct, no? So the whole idea is what, in those days we used to give one way for our boys who come for the Parayana festival in camp temple. But later some devotees found out, boys come with one way, they take money and they come. As soon as they get down in the camp temple gate, then they go to MG Road for roaming. They go for MG Road roaming, and after the kirtan gets over, they know the prasad timing, 9 o'clock. Directly come for dinner and eat prasad, and they get one way coming going. So then we came to know, my Lord, for the sense gratification we have to give one way. Then we made a policy to make sure that, you know, if you are giving one way, they have to, because the problem in that temple is the prasad hall is open from all sides. You can't, if you put them from this side, they can go from back side. Correct? In a hall like this, if you are holding a prerana, you can close all doors and you can keep entry, one-way entry. If you want to have one way for coming, you take ticket and go inside. Attend the program. Like that type of policy is maybe appearing little forceful, but some amount of force is required for the common populace to go from animal platform to human platform. Because it involves some amount of austerity. Correct, no? Therefore, he says here, what is the point he said? The praja became unruly and they became compared to animals. As I told you what Samik Rishi told Sringi, correct, no? And the people have become like monkeys and dogs, he said. Like that, people become degraded. Therefore, even we people are preaching in colleges and all, eventually we have to win the trust of the top management. Like you see in Nanded, they are preaching Karnataka Prabhu and team. You know, when the top management is welcoming us, you know, the whole situation, mahal will be different. Imagine if the president of the college or the principal of the college calls the devotee and then he introduces him to the college and says, this devotee is coming, we have given him a room in the hostel, he is preaching, all of you are welcome to attend. You know, that kind of authentication, authorization is so wonderful, you know. And our respectability in the college will be so great that a big group will come happily. And imagine if he gives a period in the college also says, we are devoting some period for the special classes and we give even credited course, that is even more valued, correct? No? So the administrators should actually, they have to take lead in propagating religion. Brahmanas cannot do it alone. Brahmanas have the substance, but the administrators have the machinery. Just like the bullet and the gun. Put the bullet and the gun, it has the power. You cannot take a bullet and throw on the people. Nobody will be afraid of you. You only have the bullet. So Prabhupada said, ISKCON is like an organization. Just like you have seen the ice cream machine, you have seen that. When you do like this, you can have the cone ice. Correct, no? You do like this, it cream keeps coming. So the ice cream machine can be compared to ISKCON, which is producing, you know, lot of cone ice creams can be made and supplied to many. Correct? Without that machine, you know, you cannot make it. Correct? Similarly, ISKCON is an organization, administration. With that, our preaching substance can be... So, this is a substance and ISKCON gives structure. So, when substance and structure are combined, we can become powerful in spreading Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we have a voice, we have a hierarchy, we have systems in place, policies in place, what is to be followed. Everyone aligns with the system and then we powerfully reach out to people. Therefore, he's telling then... And there are systems which will not allow people to remain like animals. They will make sure that either you become a human being or you are out. Correct, no? So systems are required. And when systems are not followed, there is no leader, what happens? Everything falls apart. Correct, no? And we have personal experience. There are some voice centers where brahmacharis don't regularly go and there is no good leader. What happens? Everything falls apart. And it becomes like a karmi world. Correct, no? Yeah. So that's what he's saying here. So read the theme.
Sages advise king to rule the populace with ultimate goal in mind.
That's what we were discussing about. See, the fourth line from bottom, Prabhupada says, in modern democracy, the scientific divisions of Varnashrama are turned topsy-turvy by the vote of the Shudras. So the Shudras are chosen for administrative posts. They have no knowledge of the ultimate goal of life. Shudra means eat, drink and be merry. That is Shudra. And that is the ultimate goal of their life. So they have no understanding of Krishna consciousness. Such persons whimsically enact laws without knowledge of life's purpose. The result is no one is happy. Like, you know, government itself is printing lottery tickets. Government itself is opening liquor shops. Government itself is making policies like gay marriage or living in together and things like that. What kind of government is that? It's a demoniac government. So therefore, you find that people, Prabhupada used to say, it's a government of the Shudras, by the Shudras, for the Shudras. He used to say like that. You see? I read the translation, second, third.
The great sages then called for the queen mother, Sunita, and with her permission, they installed Vena on the throne as the master of the world. All the ministers, however, disagreed with this.
This goes to show the power of the Brahmanas. See, the ministers did not like, because the ministers of King Anga, they were very happy when Anga was there. When Anga disappeared, now they were all worried that now if this Vena comes, he'll be atrocious, he'll be irreligious, you know, and we can't cooperate with him, you know. And he is going to take the law in his hand and turn everything upside down. So, he will stop yajna, he will stop worship of the Lord, everything. So, they were actually unhappy. So, they protested to the Brahmanas. No, we cannot accept, bring someone else. But then the Brahmanas couldn't find anyone else. Because this is one big problem in monarchy. Next to the king, who will be the next king? It's very difficult to get a person who is competent because the king requires a lot of qualities. Like one of the first qualities, king should be a devotee of the Lord. That's the very first quality. Then he should have character. How he deals with money, how he deals with women, how he deals with property, how he deals with the praja. Correct, no? And it is said that in this world, if you want to test a person's character, you know, give him a position, it is said. He will become intoxicated. And he will misuse the resources, manpower resources, money power resources, everything he will misuse. So, He not only requires devotion, he requires character, and he requires the competence to rule the praja. Because a king needs diplomacy, at the same time he needs simplicity also. He should be simple enough to take the advice of the brahmanas. He should be diplomatic enough not to get tricked by the rogues and thieves and cheaters in the society. He requires a very special type of intelligence. Therefore, he requires empowerment from the Supreme Lord. It's not an ordinary thing. He requires competence. And he needs to be, he needs to have the respectability in the eyes of the ministers, who are all highly talented in different areas. They should consider him respectable, which means he should have high integrity. He should be very broad-hearted, very noble. He should be very munificent. Munificent means very charitable. Doesn't hold everything with himself. He is very charitable to the poor, charitable to the brahmanas, very liberal. And he should be humble to the brahmanas. Like you see, Krishna is washing the feet of Narada when he goes to the Dwaraka. He should be humble like that. And he should be devotee like Ambarish Maharaj. He should be munificent like like Yudhishthira Maharaj. And he should be very strong in taking action against evil forces. Yet he should be very forgiving also. Therefore, when you read the Prithu Maharaj's qualities as a king, Palana Shakti, you will be amazed by the contradictory qualities that he had in him. Vajradabhi Kathoram, Kusumadabhi Komalam. He can be as soft as a tender rose, but he has to be as hard as a thunderbolt at certain times. He will require extreme qualities. Therefore, it's very difficult to get a king. So, after Anga left, the ministers were unhappy with Vena becoming the king. But however, the brahmanas directly asked Sunita. And Sunita, will she say no? Mother of Vena? Which mother will say, please don't make my son king? She simply has motherly attachment. In fact, you will find, after Vena died also, Sunita protected his body. Certain rasayana mandal she put and preserved the body. She was attached to her child. Once my special master was saying that even our Diti, she got two dangerous sons, you all know. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Maharaj was telling that if somebody goes to her and says, do you know what your sons are doing? They are creating havoc in the whole world. They are killing brahmanas. They are cutting down fruit bearing trees. They are destroying gopurams. Heat is spreading all over. Maharaj was telling, mother may say, yeah, they are a little naughty. Maharaj was saying, of course, it's not there in Bhagavatam, but Maharaj said that she may say like that. I agree that they are little naughty, but they are not so bad as you are saying. Because the mother always thinks her child is most wonderful. So Sunita was like that. So Sunita was happy to see Vena ascending the throne. So the brahmanas forced the ministers to accept. They said, we have no other alternative. This is the only chance we have. So what was, now you all may feel, how can brahmanas act like this? Ministers are saying no. Why are they forcibly posting Vena? But brahmanas were thinking, it's not that in this world a bad person remains a bad person always. Even a bad person can sometimes change and become a better person. You give him a post, give him some position, respect, and then give him some training and education. Maybe because he's accepted a position, he may become reformed, become a better individual. That's what brahmanas thought. We are all there. We all will surround him and give him good advice. He'll become a good man. Which means the brahmanas are seeing the brighter side of Vena. That is mentioned actually why they posted Vena, because Vena was very powerful. That's mentioned in the next verse. Read it.
It was already known that Vena was very severe and cruel. Therefore, as soon as all the thieves and rogues in the state heard of his ascendance to the royal throne, they became very much afraid of him. Indeed, they hid themselves here and there as rats hide themselves from snakes.
Yeah. Read the purport.
Purport. When the government is very weak, rogues and thieves flourish. Similarly, when the government is very strong, all the thieves and rogues disappear or hide themselves. Of course, Vena was not very good king, but he was known to be cruel and severe. Thus, the state at least became freed from thieves and rogues.
So, this was the good side of Vena that Brahmana saw. So, Brahmana saw bad side of Vena was, because he was unruly, he was cruel, he was killing children and all that. He was arrogant and then anti-Vishnu. So they thought we can preach to him and polish that side. And the good side was, You know, thieves and rogues are afraid of him, which they were very happy. Ravana's thought they can be kept under control. Now let's go to the fourth one. Read the fourth one.
When the king...
This is a very important verse. We have to recite the verse. Sa aruda nripasthana unnadoshta vibhuti bihi avamene mahabhagan stabdah sambhavita svatah.
When the king ascended to the throne, he became all powerful with eight kinds of opulences. Consequently, he became too proud. By virtue of his false prestige, he considered himself to be greater than anyone. Thus, he began to insult great personalities.
Yeah, if you see the word to a translation, it says, avamene mahabhagan. He began to insult great personalities. And he was tabdaha, inconsiderate. And sambhavitaha, he considered himself very great. Swataha, by himself. He considered that I am the greatest personality. Unnaddaha means very proud of his vibhutibhi, of his opulences. He was very proud. As soon as he ascended the seat of the king, these were the qualities of Vena, which are actually qualities which anybody accepting the kingship should give up. Which means unnaddaha, avamene mahabhaga, stabdaha, sambhavitaha. Stabdaha, inconsiderate, means what? Like for example, Brahmanas want to do yajna, he would not let them do it. Even if they explain to him why we should do yajna, he will not listen. Inconsiderate means unwillingness to listen. I know what is what, get lost, don't tell me anything. That is inconsiderate. And sambhavita means he considered himself all-knowing. He considered himself very great. So these Sanskrit words you can try to remember. Because when we speak, it's very useful to quote. Sambhavitaha. Repeat. Sambhavitaha. Stabdaha. Avamene mahabhagan. Unnaddaha. Yeah. These are the four qualities. Unnaddaha means very proud. Stabdaha means inconsiderate. Stabman and inconsiderate. Sambhavitaha means, that is also similar to proud, but considering himself great. Like that. These are the qualities mentioned. So, Prabhupada writes below, 4-5 lines from the bottom. The Rajarshi could also create a kingdom, bring everyone under his control and rule over everyone. And these were some of the opulences of the king. King Vena was not practiced in yoga, but he became very proud of his royal position nonetheless. Because he was not very considerate, he began to misuse his power and insult great personalities. So, one thing is mentioned in the purport. In case a king is a yogi, he may get Ashtasiddhis. Or he can conquer 8 directions. And he may cover a large portion of the world and he may rule over many, many people. Therefore, the word 8 opulences is used. Evam madandha utsikto. Nirankushayivadvipa Paryatan ratamasthaya Kampayan yivarodasi.
When he became overly blind due to his opulences, King Vena mounted a chariot and, like an uncontrolled elephant, began to travel through the kingdom, causing the sky and earth to tremble wherever he went.
Na yashtavyam Na datavyam, na hotavyam, dvijaha kvachit, iti nyavarayad dharmam, bheri ghoshena sarvashaha. What is it? Na yashtavyam means what he said. He is putting rule now. What is the rule? No charity. Nobody should give any charity. If you want to give in my pocket only. Don't give it to anybody else. Na datavyam. He is saying, correct, no? No charity should be given. And na yashtava means no yajna should be performed for Vishnu. If you want to worship anyone, I am the only one you should worship, he says. And no, don't give charity, don't worship Vishnu. No. Na hotavyam, no clarified butter can be offered. Kvachit, iti nyavarayat, he is saying, he stopped. dharmam, all the religious activities he stopped. And not just stopped, he sent his employees from the palace to go around and bheri goshena, sarvashaha. All over his kingdom, they were doing very good. Tamadamadamadamadamadamadamadamadamadamadam. Everybody will come out, no, from their homes. What is the announcement? So this is what they said. Na yashtavyam, na datavyam, na hotavyam, dvija kochit. They were told, none of you should do any yajna. Don't give charity. Don't. Actually, hotavyam is homa, is it? It's written as any clarified butter can be offered. What is writing in this thing? Forbidden to give charity or offer clarified butter. Yeah. So in this way, they were King Vena had sent his servants out to make announcement like this. So in this 3, 4, 5, and 6 verses, see the themes.
Misusing power due to false pride to insult great personalities.
Yeah, this is the fourth verse. Yeah, one more.
Blindness due to opulences.
Yeah, that we are seeing in the fifth verse, where it says that Madhanda. Madhanda means blinded with power. Utsikto means proud. Nirankusha. Nirankusha means an elephant is controlled by Ankush. Correct, no? But if there is nobody with Ankush, and the elephant is scot-free in the middle of the road, then he can run anywhere and damage anyone. Correct, no? So Nirankusha. That's the meaning. So he thought that who can control me in this world? Just like Hiranyakashipu. Correct, no? When he occupied the position of the kingship of the all the three worlds, he went and sat in Indra's throne and he drove away Indra. And he controlled the devatas, controlled asuras, controlled the humans, everything in the world. So he thought, I am Nirankush. Nirankush means uncontrolled elephant, like that he says. So in this way, this world has seen innumerable kings coming one after another and dying and, you know, going to the graveyard. But there had been instances of people misusing power once they get the power. You will find that the Bhagavatam has a typical explanation which the Bhagavatam gives. When one gets power but one is not a devotee, then one will get intoxicated with pride when one is not a devotee. And that pride will make him want to compete with other kings. So therefore, then he will wage a war and the innocent public has to suffer because of that. Because the king wants to increase his... In the Muchukunda section, there is a prayer. Nirjitya dikchakramabhuta vigraho varasanastam samaraja vanditaha. See, this is his aspiration. See, nirjitya dikchakram. Dikchakram means there are 8 directions. In all 8 directions, a king would wage war and conquer the neighborhood countries, the neighborhood states. He would conquer. Nirjitya means he has conquered. And varasanastam samaraja vandita. And he is sitting on the top of an elephant very proudly. And samaraja vandita means what? Kings who were at one time considered his equal are now worshipping him. Vandita. They are showering flowers on him. So and so, Maharaj ki jai jakar ho. Like that they are putting flowers. And they salute him. And they pay tribute to him. Tax to him. And this is the aspiration of many kings, to bring other kings in the neighborhood to subdue them under his rule. Like that. So you will find in this way, when more and more power is given, you will find Kartavirya Arjuna had thousands of hands. So he did balatkar of the Kamadhenu from the Brahmana, isn't it? Or he is blocking the river and making the river overflow. Similarly, you will find when, like Wali, he is extremely powerful, but he is stealing another man's wife. Correct, no? And similarly, you find Ravana, very mighty, powerful. He is the king of the golden Lanka. So he goes all over the world and catches beautiful women and brings them. You find like that. So you find that as soon as one gets a very great power, you will find they will get character problems. You will find that immediately. And now here we don't hear about Vena, you know, going around and catching women like Ravana, or taking another man's wife. We haven't heard like that. But you are finding he's doing one big blunder, which is You know, he is stopping yajna for Vishnu long before. In those days, very rare. Amazing. Prabhupada says in one of the purports, modern day society is also like that. Now, Prabhupada says in the purport to 6. Read the purport to 6. You read it?
What was committed by King Vena many, many years ago is at present being carried out by atheistic governments all over the world.
Yeah. I heard that in one communist country, one of the leaders, when he came to post, he got made more than 150 to 200 of his statues, his own statues. And he has told people, make my statues in most part of that his country, and regularly he should be garlanded and he should be worshipped. He himself got it made. Can you imagine? This I was thinking is a mini Vena, you know? Correct, no? Because Vena wants whom to be worshipped? Himself. And he says Vishnu worship should be stopped. So in communist country, they stop God's worship. And they want whose worship? Yeah, his own worship. You can see that. So this Vena tendency is not only in Vena. This tendency is very strong. So Vena tendency also teaches one very important thing for all of us. The desire to be at the center. This is a very strong urge. It's very difficult to give up urge. Puja, we say puja la patishana. Puja means let people worship me as master, as a great soul, Mahatma. If you are a brahmachari, we may have desire to be, you know, called a Mahatma Purusha. And we want to be worshipped with garlands and words of praise. And similarly, we may want people to come and give us gifts, which is called lab, we call it. And we may want the whole world to respect us, to be the pivot around which everybody revolves. Although we all may be put in some leadership position in a small way or a big way, this consciousness is not good. It's very dangerous. In fact, if somebody seriously has this desire to be at the center and become very popular in the world, and they make conscious efforts to become popular, they will be the most lonely people, most frustrated people. And in the long run, you will find they will not be able to taste the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna conscious taste actually can only come when Krishna sanctions it. You cannot grab it. You can't say that I will be blissfully Krishna conscious and I will try to make a popularity game also to become popular. These two things don't go hand in hand. They are like oil and water. So this tendency of Vena to, you know, dominate the Brahmana. In fact, he is stopping yajna and demanding that he be worshipped. So, like for example, you will see that we have leadership in different levels. For example, somebody is a HOD of a department. Correct, no? Only what I say should happen. Nobody can do anything else. You can't say like the HOD. Okay, I have some nice ideas. Okay, let me see what you have. Well, let me see what you have. And then in case I find, you know, Prabhupada says this, whether my idea, your idea, or none of our idea, let us say a better idea. Correct, no? One should be able to think like that openly. And in the same manner, HOD is not the only person. We also have, you know, a counselor, or you have a temple president, we have vice presidents, you have comm members, who actually comm members have many, many departments under them, people under them. So, how do we act? What is our consciousness? How do we act? So, Vena consciousness means, you know, one wants to be the center and be worshipped. And one doesn't put Krishna in the center. That is actually the whole Vena pastime is all about. And here in the Vena is very doing it in a very gross way, stopping the yajna. Like for example, if I say that you can't hear from anyone except me. Like when Vidyapitam was started, I arranged Vidyapitam other teachers to come. Why? Because they have so many Vaishnava qualities which I don't possess. When they come and teach, you all will see how Gauranga Darshan Prabhu behaves, correct? How Balaram Shakti Prabhu behaves. How Radhika Vallabh Prabhu, he has some special flavor. Why we have brought all these teachers? Because alternate months, I do once and they do once. So that you all get exposure to different teachers also. So we should always be in a mood of sharing. We should sharing the position. Then we are very safely situated. But if we take monopoly type of situation, we take, it's very risky for us. Because tomorrow, if one big leader he falls down, then everyone else will be disturbed, just like it happened in Russia. One big leader fell down. He had more than 3,000 disciples. So 2,000 went away. Only 1,000 remained. You see? Therefore, so the Vena's type of thinking means, he says, na yashtavyam, na datavyam, na hotavyam, he says, dvija kachit. Actually, these are the foundational activities which are watering the root of the tree. Isn't it? Yathatarar mula nishechana means, you do yajna, you protect the cows, you give charity, brahmanas live on charity. And this fellow is saying, stop all these things. Yeah. And then he will be eventually seeing that, you will see that he is calling them as unchaste. If you don't worship me, you are like unchaste wives and all that he will call. So, although we may say, you know, I am not anti-Vishnu, I am not against devotional service, we may say, Prabhu, I am not as bad as Vena, you know. Although I agree that I have little desire that people praise me or worship me, I am a little Vena only, not a big Vena, you know. We may have little Vena tendency, but the Vena tendency has to be curbed. Vena tendency means wanting to be at the center, and molding everyone and everything in a way that one want to capture the center. As well as Radhanath Maharaj was speaking in GV, he said there is a great competition to be at the center. So he was telling that everybody should move away from the center and throw Krishna in the center. He said, which is very difficult to do. Actually, we pull Krishna also out of center, one want to be in the center, everybody. So there is a kind of, everybody is aiming at the center. And because when you are in the center, you can see everyone is revolving around you. So that desire everybody has. He was telling, it's a very dangerous. Actually, although it's the most dangerous desire, that's what everybody is desiring in the world. Most amazing thing it is. So, how do we do good work in this ISKCON society to please Prabhupada and Guru Parampara and benefit innumerable people in the world, you know, without wanting to be at the center and becoming an attention grabber, you say, no? How to do it? You remember one of the statements of Abraham Lincoln, he used to quote. His holiness Bhaktira Samant Maharaj used to quote. Who knows it? Give the mic to him. He will tell.
Actually, something similar to...
You can rephrase it, no problem.
We cannot imagine the amount of success we can achieve. If no one bothers, who gets the credit?
One Hari ball for him. Hari ball. This is the point. There is no limit to the success that we can achieve. If no one bothers, who takes the credit? Correct. People, there is a great fear of losing credit, you know, of making sure that one's name will not be forgotten or one's name will not be brushed aside, neglected. So, Vena was too much I-conscious, I-me-mine, I-me-mine consciousness. He was obsessed with I-consciousness. So, therefore you find his behavior in these verses. So, he is misusing his power. Why he is misusing power? Because the Raja Rishi is supposed to be like a glass, transparently representing the Supreme Lord. Like if you have a glass, you can see the Lord's picture through the glass. So, like a Raja Rishi means he should simply say what Lord says in scriptures. But he did just the opposite. Lord says, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. But this fellow is saying the opposite. I am the Bhokta, he says. All Yajna should be done for me. Therefore, he was misusing the power. And he had false pride and insulting the Brahmanas who had actually posted him as the king. Actually, the Brahmanas, in one sense, we can say they were very merciful upon Vena and very kind. And they actually were ready to overlook his deficiencies and post him. But he never even understood that he had deficiencies. That's the problem. Correct, no? He is thinking, I am wonderful. I am all right. And then the blindness due to opulences means... That comes a little later, which means after one occupies the position, he gets a lot of opulences. Powers to control, powers to enjoy, you know, powers to rule over, all those things. So he misused those opulences. So let's go to 7th one, read it. Translation.
Therefore, all the great sages assembled together and after observing cruel Vena's atrocities, concluded
like
that...
we have... devotees at voicepune.com. We have this, what do you call it? Any devotee can express their grievance and everything. So some devotee was catching one devotee asking, hey, why are you writing in that? You know, how can you write in that? So I said, why this is kept? so that people can open their heart if they have any problem. If they cannot go to any one person, they can open their heart. Of course, if somebody is writing any obscene things in that, they cannot be allowed to write. But sometimes you find even Lord Ramachandra used to send spies all over his country to find out whether people are happy or not. What are they talking amongst themselves? In case they have some dissatisfaction, it will be brought to the king and the king will take action. That is same as this. devotees@vaispuna.com, same thing. This means to identify what grievances people carry and then to give them a venting opportunity, vent out where they can. Like in one department, when somebody wrote, I don't want to literally say that, because if I tell you the example, you will know which department it is. Therefore, I will not quote the department. So, somebody wrote some problem in that particular department and how we are suffering like that. When it came, the HOD became very angry. Later on, he caught the devotee, took him to a private room and said, hey, why are you writing like this? Main ho na, mujhe puchna chahiye na. Prabhuji, aapko kitne baar pucha, Prabhuji, 10-10 baar bol diya, aap log sunte nahi hai. Nahi, he was telling them. Bol diya na, chup rehne ka. Jab hoga, tab hoga. User kya likhne ka usme? Baaki log dekhenge. Is it proper? It's like dhamki, you say, na? You know dhamki? You don't know? This is like dhamki, correct, na? So you shouldn't give dhamki. If somebody is writing, because he is frustrated, he is venting his writing. Therefore, we should know, actually, as leaders, we also will commit mistakes. And the mistakes have to be rectified. So who will rectify if such kinds of things come? If there are some deficiencies, mistakes in our leadership, that should be rectified. Then immediately you will say, nowadays in our temple, any problem comes from anywhere, immediately it's rectified. You've seen that? Cut, immediately it goes to calm, it goes to VP, it comes to me. Ultimately you will find that things are taken very seriously. Why it is taken seriously? Because there is an open culture here. In companies they call it as a ask, listen, speak up culture. What is it? Ask, speak up. Like Motorola company, for example. Honda company. They all have open culture. In fact, you can write something and put it up on the notice board that in our company this has to be improved, like that. And then they improve it. Even karmis are not afraid of their false ego. Why should devotees be afraid? Correct? But in Vena's kingdom, what happened? Vena was not keeping such an open culture. Rather, what to speak of the praja, he didn't even care for the brahmanas and sages also. Read for that.
When the great sages consulted one another, they saw that the people were in a dangerous position from both directions. When a fire blazes on both ends of a log.
Yeah, you know the example. The fire has two sides, fire, and in the middle, ant. Correct, no? Like one side, Vena's atrocity. Another side, thieves and rogues. No? In this way, people are suffering. Now it is 4:30. We will come back at 5:15. We can come back. All right? So we'll come back at 5:15. We'll continue. So we left it at what verse number? 8. Okay, you can read this only theme and we'll conclude with that. Atheistic.
Atheistic governments issue declarations to stop religious rituals.
Yeah.
Karmis busy in sense gratifications. Jnanis are socially aloof. Bhaktas anxious to make all materially and spiritually happy.
Yeah, that Prabhupada writes in the 7th purport. I will not elaborate on it. But Prabhupada says that the devotees are not unconcerned with people's welfare, Prabhupada writes. Like karmis are enjoying their senses, jnanis are thinking of moksha, but devotees are the only ones who do paropakar. I will not elaborate on that, but that's an important point to be noted. When we come back, we will start from this. Shilpa Parki.